One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
what do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got, he's back. Vivo 24/7.
Yes, sir. What it do, man?
Shelton J.
What's happening, man? How y'all doing?
Good, man. And let's see. Manny and Q will be on the way. I know Q is on the way. I know Manny said he may join us. And BZ may pop up.
Damn.
So, okay. Yeah. See y'all clowning about the title.
What's the title?
Who is Anthony Davis? It's one of the toppest Q sent. Okay. So it's funny. I get y'all. But yeah. I'm sure, you know, Q been going after, you know what? As a matter of fact, I know what I'm going to change the title to is Anthony Davis soft. How about that?
Yeah.
That's what Q's been just jumping on him about for a minute now. So I guess Q is going to come over here and kind of make his case. So anyway, yeah. So,
hey, you see that super chat, Ken?
I do. Yeah. I saw it.
Jason Brown. Appreciate you, yeah, Jason Brown. Jason said, new studio setup looked like a dope black 90s sitcom with Shelton as a producer off screen.
Yeah, I got to fix it. We're a little dark here, so I'm going to have to go adjust the settings. But yeah, so I guess, FIFO, you haven't been here. Thoughts on the draft? Did you catch any of the draft at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, I watched the majority of the first round. I liked it. I definitely thought there were some interesting choices, but obviously the top of the draft, the first two went as expected. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, I think was the right choice by the 49ers. Because I think at this point you got to draft, just like in the NBA, you got to draft upside guy when you have an established team like the 49ers. And then you also have a signal caller that has proven that can get you far in the playoffs. So I think it was a good pick by them. And also when you look at the trend in the NFL right now, if you don't have somebody with a lively arm that can extend plays on call, because think about this, right? Like these defenders, like these motherfuckers are some other type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you are a Statue of Liberty quarterback with without at least a decent O-line, you may not have a long career. Ask Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I like the pick for the 49ers. Number four was the Falcons. Okay. Mm. So you know my motto. You can't trust Georgia teams. And you already know my ideology, my philosophy in terms of organizations. I would have cleared house years ago, at least last year. But by keeping Matt Ryan, by keeping Julio, and you add Kyle Pitts to Calvin Ridley, and I said this like a year or two ago, right? Like, oh man, we're going to have the best offense, this, that, and the third. But now it's kind of hard to not say that we're going to be a top three scoring team in the NFL, you know? And I think that depending on as the owner, what you want, if you want to be viable and you want to compete, then this is the route you go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may not be able to stop nobody, but if they can't score 35 plus, then it can't beat you. So I get it. I think this is the best opportunity to win right now. That was the move and the ideology that I deduced from making the Kyle Pitts pick. Number five was, what team was that? Who picked?
Hey, quick, FIFO, do you think Kyle Pitts is a franchise play? Like he's one of those mega franchise players?
I think he's a matchup nightmare. Franchise player to me means like you sell jerseys and all that too, like your box office, like you got the complete package. I know from a physicality standpoint, a skills standpoint, most definitely. I don't know if he's box office. You know, I don't know if he can replicate what Antonio Gates, Jeremy Shockey, we'll see. We'll see if he gets that fanfare. But I think if he makes a couple plays, runs over a couple guys, stiff arms, two or three people, you know, like then he'll get that. But, you know, I don't know. I think he'll be valuable for the Falcons and how they want to attack teams. That's the most I'm willing to say right now.
Okay.
Who picked that number five? I can't remember. Let me pull it up real quick.
Oh, Lakers and Clippers playing tonight. That should be a win for the Clippers.
Let's see on my NFL.com. Jamar Chase to the Bengals. I thought that was interesting because you got a franchise QB and I understand the connection to Jamar.
Yeah.
But you broke your leg, bro. So
Jamar broke it? No,
I'm talking about Joe Burrow.
Oh, Joe B.
So I personally probably would have went O-line. But if I'm the owner, GM, and head coach, and Joe Burrow calls me or is in the room and says, hey, get Jamar Chase, I'm getting Jamar Chase. It's just, I saw what it was. Obviously, you are as advertised, and I want to make you happy because I don't want to be in a Packer situation. So you want Jamar Chase, I'm going to give you Jamar Chase. So I understood that. I'm going to tell you who I think had the best overall draft. These motherfucking Dolphins, bro. The Dolphins are going to be a major problem. Have y'all watched like the Jalen Waddle highlights?
Mm-mm.
This guy...
But they say he was better than Devontae. It's Devontae.
He's more explosive. He is just on film. What you see in video.
Mm-hmm.
The only other player that I that's in the NFL today that jumps out like that in terms of ball in hand, you're not gonna catch him. Mm-hmm. Tariq Hill.
Tariq Hill.
That's only one, bro. Mm-hmm. That's the only one. He gets. There's just separation. At the top of route, shorter route, I get the ball in a screen situation. It's just separation. I don't know if there's going to be many defenders to be able to keep up with him. So I like that Dolphin pick. Also reuniting wide receiver with college quarterback with Tua and Jalen. So I like that. Number seven, the Lions, Penei Sewell. I liked it. Obviously, they're restarting, they're rebuilding.
Definitely feel the need for them.
Feel the need. Got to do it.
That's it. Who's nine?
Huh?
Go to number nine.
Number nine. No. We're gonna go to number eight. Carolina. This was the first, of the draft to me. Like a cornerback. So you guys just got Sam Darnold that ain't had no weapons, ain't had no O-line, and there's really good O-linemen, and we take a corner. Okay. It is what it is. We'll see if he pans out again. Son of Joe Horn, longtime NFL player. And then the Broncos took Pat Surtain. And I think that now as we know more and more about the Packers situation, everybody had Justin Fields slated to go here, right? Because obviously they made the move for Teddy. I think they're somewhat out on Drew Lock. You bring in Justin Fields. This is a great quarterback competition. They play, but they take Patrick Surtain. And I like the pick. I like the pick because of everything else that they already have on the roster. The roster is one of the best rosters in the NFL. You look at offensively what they've been able to do. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. I know they have another wide receiver I can't think
of. Right. Hamler.
Hamler,
KJ Hamler.
They got Melvin Gordon in the backfield. I think Phillip Lindsay left in free agency, and then the defense. You know, obviously Von Miller's coming back. Bradley Chubb,
guys that was hurt.
Yeah, the safety Justin something
Simmons.
Justin Simmons. Now you go get Patrick Surtain. I'm like, okay, I see what y'all doing. So I was okay with that. Then Devontae Smith to the Eagles. Obvious need. They don't have playmakers out there.
You like them trading up to do it though?
Yeah, because they wasn't going to get an elite wide receiver. Now, there's also a whole bunch of good wide receivers, like the dude from Florida. I can't think of his name.
Kadarius Toney.
Yes, starts with a K. I like him, but Devontae is just more polished. You know, and I think skillfully, physically, I don't know. What is yet to be seen, but skillfully, he's a number one wide receiver. So now, you know what I'm saying? Now you reunite Jalen Hurts with Devontae, which is crazy. It's three pairings.
That happened a lot this draft.
It did. It did. And then I like the Bears trading up. I'm surprised that Matt Nagy and the GM, I can't think of his damn name.
Me either.
But I'm surprised they still have a job. I'm surprised. Mm. And here's the thing. If I'm both of them, I don't give a damn how much of the playbook Justin Fields knows. He got to play. He got to play. Because even if they don't have a winning season, you got to know that you made the right choice. And for Matt Nagy and that GM, that's the only way they keep their jobs, is that Justin Fields, you can go 6-10, but does he look nice? Does he look like, is the arm big enough? Does it cut through that Soldier Field win? Does he make the right choices? Do we see what he can be? And if we see that, then they may keep their jobs. But if he looks like he's trash, then they're out of there 100%. The Cowboys, Micah Parsons. Interesting because Vander Esch is always hurt now. I don't know if it was an area of need, but I think it was definitely the best player available.
Yep.
And defense is definitely the area where they struggle. So I'm okay with that. Rashawn Slater to the damn Chargers. Chargers are stacked. And you got a franchise QB. You already got enough weapons. Protect the man even more so. So I like the pick there. Jets trading back up. When I saw them make this move, I was like, they learned from Sam Darnold. That you draft Sam Darnold. What other old lineman did you draft? You haven't done anything to protect him. Now they did that. They got one of the top five old linemen in the draft. They got the quarterback that they like. You know what I'm saying? So I like the move. That's how you build your team. Mac Jones to the fucking Patriots. Of course, Bill Belichick didn't trade. Of course, he didn't do nothing. And then he got the quarterback that fits the Patriot way. So it's very interesting. I think he'll have success just because, you know, the Patriots are the adults in the room. And then let's also think about this. What other rookie quarterback outside of Trey Lance is really going to a situation where they've spent the money and drafted appropriately in the places that they need to have success early on? You know, the Patriots just spent close to $100 million in the offseason. They never do crazy. That.
Right.
And they never take a quarterback in the first round. So they're doing a lot of things that they never did because they're in a position that they've never been in before. And to me, Mac Jones fits the Patriot way. Even the way he walked up to the podium, his answers, the way he answered, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I said, this motherfucker is a Patriot. And then if you think even deeper, the connection between Saban and Belichick.
I was thinking that.
This is what was supposed to happen. It was destined. You know what I'm saying? So I like it. It fits.
That's crazy that he'll have had two of the greatest coaches to ever do it.
Ever. So if you really can't succeed, then it's on you.
Yeah.
Because they're going to put you in positions to succeed.
Right.
I don't know much about Zaven Collins. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't watch much Tulsa.
Yeah,
but it's interesting because the Cardinals in the last few years have gone defense, maybe longer than that. But I feel like they picked tweener guys. Like Isaiah Simmons is a tweener guy. From everything that I saw and everything, this guy's a tweener guy too. Is he a true linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? What is he? So it's interesting to see how he plays out. The Raiders, I feel, reached Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle.
As they have the last 3 years.
Yep. They reached. So it is what it is. I'll leave it there. Again, Miami, number 18, Jalen Phillips. The best pure pass rusher in the draft.
I loved him.
Got him. And this is the reason why when they picked Waddle and then they picked this pick, I was like, yo, this is the best draft. This is the best draft out of any team because you got exactly what you needed. You got a tight end and then you got Parker on the opposite side. Now you got a game breaker at any given time with return ability, right? Then on the defense, we know the Dolphins to be a defensive team with a defensive head coach with two shutdown corners and a great front. But where were they with sacks? How much pressure did they generate? Not a lot, good enough, but they weren't necessarily elite. Now this move makes them, in my opinion, elite. That's going to be one of the, I think they should be a top five, top three defense next year.
Mm.
And I think Jalen Phillips is going to have a lot to do with it. Even if he doesn't get the sack numbers, he's going to put tremendous pressure on the quarterback. So I like that move. I don't know Jamin Davis, but from the, you know, the highlights and shit that the man can run. I think he ran like a 4.4 something at linebacker or something like that. I think it was the fastest linebacker in the draft. So between him and Michael Parsons. So yeah, I like the pick for Washington. And then again, you're just strengthening up the strength of the team on that defensive side. Kadarius Toney, wide receiver, going to the Giants. I like the move. They need another playmaker. I think what that move tells me is this is make it or break it for Daniel Jones. You got Evan Ingram, Saquon coming back. I can't remember the wide receiver that they went and got.
They got,
didn't they get the dude from the Lions?
Kenny Golladay.
Now you draft this guy. Hey, Danny Dimes. How many dimes you going to throw? You know what I'm saying? Kwity Paye, interesting. The Colts are a very good roster already. I don't know him like that, so I can't really say much. Caleb Farley. In this draft, there's Jalen Waddle in terms of sheer athletic raw ability. Mm-hmm. Then there's Caleb Farley. I don't know if y'all watched highlights or the tape on this guy. He is the most sudden cornerback, meaning quick twitch. Mm-hmm. See it go. I don't have to think. Like he is so naturally gifted that he is going to surprise a lot of wide receivers. Again, he got to stay healthy. That's been the biggest knock on him. Don't know the old tackle from Virginia Tech that went to the Vikings. Najee Harris to the Steelers. I know you typically don't take running backs that early, but I get it. They were the worst rushing team. Mm-hmm. That has a lot to do with James Conner and that O-line. So fresh blood needed it. And then, you know, Najee Harris is the type of running back that he going to run over people. So even if I ain't got an O-line, y'all going to get this power. So
Pittsburgh like way.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
That's a Pittsburgh running back.
Smash mouth.
Yeah, Pittsburgh running back. Travis Etienne from Clemson to the Jags. Like it.
Another teammate.
Yep, I like it because I was, like you said, a teammate. And, you know, with all of the cap room and the draft that the Jags had, they just had to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get weapons for Trevor, you know?
It didn't bother you that what is his name? James Robinson rushed for over 1,000 yards last year?
Why would it bother me?
It didn't bother me much either, but a lot of people were saying that it was overkill because you just had a 1,000-yard rusher. So why would you add another back in the first round?
Well, what I would say to that is that people thought James Conner was going to work out when he came out of nowhere, and he didn't.
Yep.
So if you can get a guy that – what's that guy's name? Mike Davis?
Yeah. Who?
Yeah.
In Jacksonville
currently.
His name is Robinson. James Robinson, isn't it?
Oh, James Robinson. Yeah, I mean, we you know, how many times are you going to get a no-name running back to go out and do something outside of Terrell Davis? So, you know, if you got a chance to get a talented guy that could catch and run, why risk it to chance?
Yeah, and I don't know much about James Robinson, but I don't watch the Jaguars like that. I'm sorry. I will now, but I just haven't. So I don't know what he's like. I didn't even YouTube him or nothing like that. But I know about ATN, and I know that, like you said, he's a dual threat running back. So it doesn't hurt. You know what I'm saying? It only bolsters the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we don't know with a lot of unnamed, no-name running backs, like what their longevity is going to be. That could have been his best year ever. Mm-hmm. He may never eclipse that again. So
yeah.
I like that you're adding that to the roster. Greg Newsome, the second cornerback going to the Browns. I don't know much about him, but I know the Browns didn't have a secondary. So I like the fact that they addressed the need. Rashad Bateman, that's your guy.
Yeah, you're true.
Yep. So he's going to the Ravens again, another area of need. So I like that. Peyton Turner to the Saints, defensive end. I don't watch Houston football. So I don't know. Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia to Green Bay. I like it, but I don't love it. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. Greg Rousseau from Miami to the Buffalo Bills. The rich get richer.
Yeah, that might be a steal.
Yep, that's a steal. That's a major steal. You know, you're talking about you're talking about one of the best fronts in football. Mm-hmm. And they just got better. So, you know, the AFC East is gonna be tough. Edge rusher Penn State, Odate Owe to the Ravens. I trust the Ravens, so I think he's pretty good. I don't know who he is. I don't watch Penn State football. And then Joe Tryon, edge rusher from Washington to the Bucks. Don't know much about Washington football either, but I trust Tom Brady. So, you know, he made the right pick.
Hey, we got a couple super chats in here. The first one.
Somebody said the volume's low. Wait a minute. Hold. You got to say the volume's low. 313 JMO. Are y'all having trouble hearing?
Yo, y'all can hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Q.
What up, Q?
What's good?
Can y'all hear us? Audio's been low on Spotify too.
All right, well, we'll continue. I'll turn it up some.
Got a couple super chats. I'm gonna go backwards because one is basketball. Andrew Canada, appreciate you, Andrew. He said, Jamin Davis ran a 4.38 home run pick for Washington. Fill the only hole on the defense. Expect for them to take another step this year. Could y'all hear that?
I heard that.
I heard it.
And the other, let me see what the other one was. We them boys, I guess we're going to address this later on, but he said, it's joking. Guess we got to give it to you, MVP. I think we're going to talk about that later, aren't we? Or are we not?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we got you, We them boys. That's coming. Marty McFly said it's kind of low, but it's clear and good on his end.
We're going to make sure we get that done. All right, cool.
Yo, what do we sound like now? We good?
Everybody, yo, mic, throne, check, 1, 2, what is this? Wait,
what you mean?
Podcast.
Tigolo, what's the Ravens pecking order?
Yo, it's your boy, FIFA 24/7.
Might be me. Is it me? Hope it's not me. Let me turn it up. Turn my volume up.
We have, no, I say, do we have more super chats?
No, that was it.
All right, cool.
All right, let's see. Let's see about Jamin Davis. You said we're going to get into Jokic a little bit more. All right, cool. Welcome, Q.
What's good? What's good?
Get back up and change it so we can see y'all. Yeah, man. So yeah, we were just Rafa just going over his thoughts on the draft. While we were waiting on you to get here. So we'll let you take it from here, bro.
For sure.
He's at round four now, Q. So he got.
What happened?
I said he's at round four now, so he got a couple more to go.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, we ain't going to be here too long. When it comes to, you know what I mean, topics for the night, we're going to get into it real quick. So my first topic that I had, there's a big conversation happening online, big conversation happening within the sports world, specifically NBA. We're talking about Dame, CP3, and Russ, right? I bring up those three names because I think that this new era is very keen on trying to redefine greatness. And trying to redefine what a champion is. We've seen Russ go back and forth with Stephen A. Smith. We've seen Dame respond to haters. We've seen CP3 cement his legacy in OKC as a great leader. And right now with the number 2 seed in the West with the Phoenix Suns. So I wanted to ask and throw it out to y'all. In this new era, are you for or against the, I guess you could say, the new definitions for what a champion and what greatness is? Are you keen on that, against it completely? Do you see why guys are doing this? Or I'll give it to Shelton first.
That's tough. I thought you were going to ask which one of those three was better at this point.
I mean, we could. But I think that those three guys, like Russ in his triple doubles, those are kind of being given like a kind of connotation of that's what makes him great. That's greatness. That's like his championship. CP3, that's his championship, getting those right teams to the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like showing how he can make them that good. Dame being one of the most clutch players that we've seen in NBA history, like staying loyal. Is that, you know what I mean?
And you know, it's crazy. And I was going to ask y'all that question earlier because I was thinking about Russ and Dame. I was going to ask where y'all rank them two, but add CP3 into that too. But I guess we'll answer that at the end. But to answer your question, I just like players speaking up for themselves. I kind of think you're not going to be able to satisfy everybody no matter what. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have your positives and your negatives, your lovers and your detractors at the same time. So all that stuff is going to play a part. But what defines a new champion? What exactly would you say Q defines? What would you think the definition of a new champion is, though? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's become really like, it's like cryptocurrency at this point, man. You can't really quantify what that is for this new generation of guys. Like when you look at the new crop of talent coming in, they're so clearly influenced by the certain skill sets of like today's obviously great players, like the Currys. You see guys who want to try to be like the LeBrons, the KDs, the Kobe game. Everyone is patterning their game after just pillar guys. And I think that it's going to come to a point where we're going to have to redefine what great is, because the ability for these guys to score at the clip that they're scoring, the ability for them to rack up the assists and accolades that they're able to do. Only one guy can win a championship. Only one team can win the championship every year. Right. So this whole, you know, old notion of old Barkley was bad because he didn't win a ring, or the best player did not win a ring, I don't think that those things are going to be prevalent in NBA discourse in the next couple of years. I think guys are going to start to be like, man, he averaged a triple-double for four seasons. That's greatness. You know, Dame didn't leave. He didn't go to Brooklyn. He didn't chase the big three. Why is that not worthy of being, yo, that's a guy that we need to champion that. You know what I mean?
You know what, Q? I don't think that the definition has changed, and I think that the perspective has always been the same. How many championships Jerry West win? How many championships did he play in?
He got one. Played in nine.
Nine. Mm-hmm. And he's the logo. Mm-hmm. And people still talk about Jerry West's greatness. You know what I'm saying? Charles Barkley, you mentioned him. Yeah, he got a little bit of a bad rap, but I think it's also because of the persona of Charles Barkley. I'm not a role model. I'm not this. I'm not that. Mm-hmm. And he was this big, bad bully, which partly gave credence to he's a bad player. But when you look at the number, he's a Hall of Famer in first ballot, and deservedly so. You know, won an MVP award, challenged toe-to-toe Michael Jordan in the finals. Let's be honest. Go look at Charles Barkley. He was playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
He was playing out of his mind. So I think that these quote-unquote new championships, they've always existed. Mm-mm. Because
not in the way. Nah, they haven't.
We have identified it a little bit more. We've put more titles because the communication, now I can speak to somebody in Japan that's an NBA fan like this, like right now. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the communication and the involvement is different, but that notion, the idea is not new.
Part of what I hear when Q's talking about this is that when you have guys like Russ, CP3, Lillard have great NBA careers, their careers and their accomplishments are diminished because they don't win a title.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you recognize, or how moving forward will those players' greatness be recognized during their playing career without winning a title? And I think,
think one way they could do that is by saying, hey, this man averaged a triple-double for 4 years straight year. Like, and if you contextualize what he did during those years by, A, looking at the roster of those teams, and B, looking at the landscape of who are the real title contenders for those years, a person with common sense would be able to look at them and be like, yeah, he didn't stand a chance to win a title anyway. So why should we hold that against him? What has happened over the last 5 years or so is that we have all these talking heads that get on TV, and we're part of that too, right? For sure. But we don't, the end all be all for us when we talk about this stuff is, man, they didn't win a title. But when you got,
but I don't think that is what defines the level of greatness or not great.
But those people that has that level of influence, they are defining that greatness for a lot of people who listens to that. That's not their fault, but the media is controlling these.
But at the end of the day, everybody that's in the Hall of Fame didn't win a championship. So to me, greatness means that your career is worthy of being enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Mitch Richmond never won a damn championship, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but they never talk about it.
There's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that they don't talk about.
But here's the issue, and to me, that's a great point to bring up, because that's the issue. We bring up the Hall of Fame.
Damn, Q, how you get froze right now?
How many times have y'all heard they let anybody in basketball? Am I back?
Yeah, you back.
All right, cool. So how many times have y'all heard they let anybody in the NBA Hall of Fame?
I've heard that narrative. And here's the thing, right? Like, there's no entity of, like, the Hall of Fame that is perfect, right? Like, you're going to miss some guys, and maybe you reached on some guys. Kind of like the draft, but for motherfuckers that don't play. Sometimes, you know, you don't get it all right. For me, especially in the NBA, my barometer, I've said it several times, is Mitch Richmond. Are you better than Mitch? Then, you know what I'm saying? Then you should be viewed to potentially make the Hall of Fame. If your numbers don't meet Mitch Richmond's number, and you'd be surprised how good Mitch Richmond's numbers are throughout his career. If you're below that, I don't understand how you make it. So that's always been my barometer. But I don't feel that they just let anybody in. You know what I'm saying? And I also agree that the media pundits have more so identified and put a title on what greatness is, but I don't listen to them to formulate my opinion. My opinion is my opinion.
But I think because you think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the
you world actually at large, the game. You actually got a fucking brain.
Yeah, the world at large don't. So when you look at CP3, Skip, what the first thing somebody would probably say, oh yeah, he ain't never won a title. CP3, C30, whatever they call him. What Russell Westbrook, stat pattern. You ain't going to win a title with Russell Westbrook playing like that. Instead of like recognizing what he's able to do and what he's actually accomplished.
But at the same time, right, like as a media pundit, like we got to identify the things that may hold players back from winning a championship. And as much as I love Russell Westbrook, and I said if I was a head coach, I'd love to have him on my team, that he still has yet to have a head coach that can harness what is Russell Westbrook, because he gets unraveled in critical situations. And to me, that's the main thing that holds him back from being a true winner.
Yeah, and that's fine. But let's what about CP3? People didn't know how great CP3 was until the last 2 years.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate for them, because CP3 has been dominant from the moment he stepped on the basketball court.
But the default conversation goes back to either he hasn't won a title or he hasn't even played in the conference finals.
Like, and it's like, which team?
Wait, you think they really didn't recognize him before now?
No.
Not in this manner, man. When you look at CP has always been given, like you said, the CP0, and they say he's never made it there, and who has he won with? But my question is for all of these guys, well, besides Russ, which team was actually supposed to win it all?
Mm-hmm.
Was it
with Blake and DeAndre?
Yes. They had championship aspirations.
They
were flawed. That was a flawed team. And I've pointed out all of their flaws multiple times here. the thing with CP is I think whenever you're great, the expectation is championship.
Right. If you're KD level great, yes.
But CP is KD level
great. No. I understand that. But and kind of, they're just, even with Russ, people forget he even played in the finals. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is with
and James Harden, by the way. Everyone says James Harden should have won against the Warriors.
As if
they didn't become within a hair of beating a dynasty team with three of the top 15 greatest players ever.
Yeah, these,
everyone
these
still guys killed have, James Harden for that. That makes no
that's
sense.
That's what I was gonna say that year, if he hadn't got hurt, they may have had a chance to win it all. And I don't know. I always look at CP3 myself anyway, as if, even if without these last few years, he would have been looked at as a great when he retired. You know what I'm saying? I think now he's getting his flowers now because of the OKC run, because of the time now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The success of those teams. That's when you really pay attention to him. But he was always looked at like one of the top level point guards in the league. Mm-hmm. I always thought.
Let's be honest. CP, for the majority of his career, has been heralded as the best point guard in the NBA.
Probably among basketball
heads. No, on every list.
Man.
On every list, CP has been a top two point guard since year two in the NBA.
I know that. You know that. Shelton, Q, B.
You know, FIFO, I think that you're right in terms of the people who are in the know, but I'm going to give you that same logic that you gave me correctly for Barkley. What is the persona for CP? What is the, like, they don't like the fact that he's 6 feet and he don't like taller guys and he got beef with KD. And they're like, man, fuck CP. He be whining. He a flopper. But he's so damn great that I think that is overshadowed by that. And people are not giving him his flowers like Kiss said. And I would say the last 3 years.
Remember the Lakers debacle when he was supposed to be traded to the Lakers?
And they were supposed
that
to.
That was huge. That to me was made a big deal because of how big he was. It was like they were trying to keep the two stars away from each other, being that he was that big. That's why I always looked at it like he was.
So did y'all hear the story behind that? Like how it happened? So I was watching All the Smoke podcast and they had Jeannie Buss on there and she was explaining how and why it happened. So essentially that was a lockout year. Mm-hmm. And because the NBA had the controlling interest of the Hornets, they were all of the owners, all 32 owners were at the bargaining table, right? And all of a sudden, all of these owners are in this room and there's rumors of CP3 being traded to the Lakers. So Jeannie's like, it's not me. Obviously, I'm here with y'all. So there was an overeager GM at the time negotiating with the GM of the Hornets. And because all of the owners, including David Stern, were in this room, David Stern, because the other owners started complaining, like, well, how the hell is this happening when we're all here? Nobody's making a decision. So David Stern felt, in the best fairness for all of the other owners, he vetoed the trade.
Wow.
Because there was nobody there technically to make the deal. So Jeannie Buss said that if that overeager GM would have waited a day, matter of fact, a matter of hours, the deal would have went through. But because they jumped the gun, David Stern had to do what he had to do because it wasn't fair to the other 29 owners.
Yeah. To bring it back to, like, those are just examples of players and that have kind of fallen victim to these narratives. So I think that what I would like to see is for us to get out of that, for us to really recognize players for their talents and their skills and their abilities on the field and or court. And if they win a title, that's even better. Imagine if Steph's greatness isn't defined by the titles he won. You know, he was still. Imagine if Steph never won a title. Imagine if Kyrie didn't get hurt and Kevin Love never got hurt that year and they lost to them that year. Mm-hmm. And then we know what happened next year and they never really learned how to win. Mm-hmm. Imagine, and he continues to do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. We would look at Steph, Klay, and Draymond and completely different lights.
100%. So I think winning 1,000,000% cements the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. But when you don't win, the narrative that's painted can distort the greatness of that player. So I'm not against that idea in the context of what Q is presenting in terms of the question, but I truly believe that winning, like they say, the old adage, winning cures all. So if you win, it doesn't matter how you won or what the persona is. If you're a bully, if you're an asshole, whatever, it doesn't matter because you won. But I think that when you don't win, mm-hmm. all of those narratives are the talking points.
Right.
It's the reasons why you didn't win. Mm-hmm. And I think that as analysts, right, because that's essentially what we are, when you're analyzing why can't this player win, why CP can't win, in my opinion, that Clippers team was devoid of a perimeter wing guy that exactly. can compete with the elites of the league, the LeBrons and the KDs, right? Like they needed like a Rudy Gay or something like that. And they tried, I can't remember the light-skinned dude that got dropped, Wesley Johnson. Mm-hmm. Like they tried to have multiple guys in that position. Matt Barnes, not good enough. Even mm-hmm. though CP is amazing and he elevated DeAndre and Blake, still not enough. So why? And then later on when he goes to Houston, why didn't they win? He was hurt. So now these become the narratives. CP is always hurt. CP can't lead a team to the championship. CP can't do these things because we have to understand. I think it's just human nature to try to figure out why you can't do this. Your peers or contemporaries of yours have been able to do it. Isaiah Thomas was able to do it. Why you can't do it?
And we got a super chat from Kalen McCoy. Thank you as always, Kalen. Folks were holding his 3-1 loss against CP till OKC.
Oh yeah. When the Clippers blew that 3-1 lead to Houston. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then OKC blew that 3-1 lead to Golden State is what I think Kalen's talking about. So shout out to yeah, because
yeah, you know, CP3, my bad, Q.
No, you
but the CP3, like, they lost that 3-1 lead, but we didn't question CP3's, like, play. Like, we weren't saying, oh, he ain't stepping up, or, oh, he's not. We were questioning DeAndre Jordan's and Blake Griffin, because Blake Griffin was supposed to be that guy for the Clippers, and he didn't step up. We saw how hard CP3 played defensively and offensively, even when they lost that 3-1 lead. We wasn't questioning CP3's ability to play.
But you are providing context. But the fact of the matter is, like, if we're looking at it as an overview, and I'm not going into detail.
Mm-hmm. I know, I see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking to casual fans, that's the fact that they're going to bring up. They're not going to they're not going to talk about the events that led up in that game. We're not going to talk about how many assists to turnovers that CP had. We're not going to talk about the points. We're not going to talk about the clutch situations. Defensively, CP was guarding all of the top dudes on that playoff run. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that isn't the narrative. The narrative is they lost a 3-1 lead.
And why? That's my issue is that y'all brought up winning as well. And winning to me, that's equally as scrutinized as those who don't win in this day and age, because like you're saying, context, right? But now we're in the era of takes without context. Everyone just wants to give a take.
Yep.
Because everyone just wants to be either retweeted or everyone wants to be the main character on social media for a day. Today it's Nick Wright talking about Jokic, right? So everyone is just talking without having a real grasp of how to play basketball, or even know people who play basketball or have never done it themselves and haven't even been around the game, don't got no knowledge of the game. But they want to tell you what these men haven't done in their lives and what they should be ashamed of or what they shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, and to me, that's BS, because they're scrutinizing people who win now. So James Harden, y'all told us that the box is this. You have to get a ring. When James Harden says, okay, I'm going to fit in that box, I'm going to go get a ring, they say, oh, no, not like that. Not like that, because you have to do it on your own. But when Dame stays on his own and loses, Dame is a loser, man. Dame don't do nothing in second round. Skip Bayless, he's never been able to beat KD. Mm-hmm. So which fucking box is it, my guy? Which one is it? Is it Uchiwali? Because that's where I'm confused at. How do you shame KD, Kyrie, Harden for linking up but then herald the Boston teams and herald the Lakers teams of the past that had a Hall of Fame or Hall of Fame or Hall of Fame. It's just the way that contracts and the business has evolved that has changed people's ability to do what was already being done in the past. So why are we still holding up on these archaic definitions of this is a true champion? This is a real win. Like, come on, Bradley Beal said, yo, Russ gives 110% because he wants us all to win. He tried to make us all better. That matters in context, and that should be taken into account with people's analysis.
You know why, Q? Because a lot of these talking heads are old as shit.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? And they take their idea. Because, look, think about how media is changing. Right. Do you have a journalistic degree?
Not journalist, broadcasting.
Broadcasting. Okay, yeah. So close enough.
Close enough, yeah.
Nobody else in this motherfucker got no type of degree anywhere close to that. Right? The internet has changed a lot. And then a lot of these older guys that are on the ESPNs of the world, the Fox Sports of the world, they come from a different era. Mm-hmm. And they're still relevant and prevalent in today's media. But mm-hmm. now you have entities such as us that break it down a little bit more. And we have, like, I don't want to say real discussions, because I think that they have somewhat discussions on TV, but they can't be as raw and uncut as we are. They can't go into context of a playoff series the way that we do. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the media has balance now, and eventually people like, think about the Pat McAfee show. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most popular sports shows. He ain't got no, he was a punter for the Colts. And now he's one of the most popular broadcasters in media talking sports. You know what I'm saying? So it's the changing of the guard in that sense, right? So like when you ask, is it Uchiwali? Is it one Mike? It's a changing of the guard right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. From the people that are talking about what has happened and those perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that that's part of that.
And you're,
yeah,
and
I do agree with you.
Yeah, 100% right.
Real quick, last thing. I like that that they are fighting back, kind of going back to what Shelton was saying, you know, when Russell went back at Stephen A. Smith, mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield went back at Colin Cowherd, when Tom Brady, of all people, went at Colin Cowherd for his criticisms of Baker Mayfield, talking about, how do you know I've never seen spaceships? Mm-hmm. Like, you say all of these things, you generalize these things, or you use me in your examples when you have no factual knowledge. So don't use me to attack another player, you know, that plays in the league just to make your point. So you're seeing these guys basically kind of get fed up with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because most of it is false narratives. The beauty in all of this is that we are in a beautiful time in basketball, because when you think about it, those players we even named, even naming those three, the CP3, the Russell Westbrook, and who's the third one? We just named Dame.
Oh, Dame, CP, and Russ, yeah.
Those three are all great players that do three different things. They have three different skill sets, even though they play the same position. Three different things make them great. So I think that that's a beautiful time in basketball, because you got so many different players that can do so much different stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of them do it at an elite level. It's just a beautiful time right now.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, Shelton? This is even, I was born back in 84. I don't care if people can do the math. This is the reason why I love basketball, because it's always been a puzzle piece. If for whatever reason I'm able to draft this player with this particular skill set, how do I get another player that's either at his level or slightly under that is complementary to that skill set? And then once I got my two main guys, how I want to build, then how do I get all of these other puzzle pieces that fit? And I think that that's always been the beauty of basketball. I think that's always been the beauty of sport, which is why I'm always intrigued of the business, the transactions, the trades, the drafts, all of that stuff. I'm so enthralled in all of that, because there's a method to the madness, and it's not a science, but it's a feel. And that's why I don't like 100% analytics. I think numbers are important, but what do your eyes tell you? And I think that oftentimes a lot of these media pundits, they generate these narratives and they didn't even play the sport themselves. So you don't even have a first person perspective as to how difficult or how easy something is. You know what I'm saying? So you just talking out the side of your ass, or your unnamed sources. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they can be painting a narrative for a multitude of reasons because maybe they want to trade you. So they're going to smear you a little bit. Maybe they want to do, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, what I beg the audience watching right now, regardless of whatever sport you watch or whatever is your favorite sport, trust your eyes. Trust your eyes. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to everybody. I listen to a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? I'm entertained by it. But at the end of the day, I don't care what this person says. If I see what that person says, then I'll agree. But if my eyes tell me something different, hell no, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And then we'll see
what happens when the dust settles.
And that's the issue. People will say to listen to this conversation, why? What's the point in responding to the people on ESPN? Because the people on ESPN control millions of people's narratives about players. That's why. It's not about some we validating what they're saying. It's about countering propaganda, actually. Because a lot of this stuff is just propaganda from the owners and the execs who are trying to decrease or increase players' value. Let's be real for what ESPN and Fox is. This is how they leak stuff in. Oh, they say Kyrie doesn't like being in Brooklyn. Oh, Kyrie doesn't. All that's about is hopefully when it's time to trade Kyrie, the public will get it. That's all that's about. That's all this type of stuff is about. So to even add on to what FIFO's saying, the nature of sports business has changed. And the reason why it pertains to the question is because guys have less of an onus on this archaic understanding of greatness because there's so much more out there for guys to do with their name and their likeness now that I think we're going to see in a lot of years. In a couple of years from now, that a lot of guys will not have the six rings mentality at all. There's only a couple of those guys left of I'm chasing six, I'm chasing five, I'm chasing four, I'm chasing Kobe. There's going to be guys who look at this like, man, I got a Twitch streaming deal where I, you know, play Call of Duty in front of a million people and I get paid $500,000 a stream.
Right.
Why in the world would I care about what Colin Cowherd says to me on Tuesday morning show when I can, you know what I'm saying? When I own a clothing line, like, or I have a TV show like Cam Newton now on BET. This is what we are entering into. So I just want people to actually appreciate what they got while they got it. Bron ain't going to be here in this league for that long. CP's not going to be here for that long. Dame is in his 30s. Kyrie's entering his 30s. Y'all need to appreciate these players' greatness and what they do with the basketball. Right. Man. That's just what I want us to get into. Less narrative, more eye test.
So cute. So with that being said, this is kind of like what I took away from one of the last parts that you said. Do you not feel that the NBA is in good hands to continue the tradition of the guys that do want it? Because I think we are seeing an influx of guys that they're here either for the paycheck or they're here just because they're talented, but they're not motivated by winning, right? Like they're not motivated by the ghost. But I do think that there are a handful of guys that maybe not motivated by ghosts, but they're motivated to be great, right? Like when I watch Anthony Edwards, every fiber in his body is trying to demolish you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That mentality is, in my opinion, Anthony Edwards can play in any era of basketball. You want to body him up, he going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like when I watch him play, my eyes tell me he plays the game with reckless abandon and he wants to be great. When I watch LaMelo Ball play, that man wants to be great. He's not out here to be mediocre. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about that yet, though. For either one of those guys, even though y'all know how I feel about it. About my guy, but sure. but being honest though, I don't know if they have that will to be great or if they're part of the social media area that just wants to be seen. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, FIFO, I would say Ja has that mentality.
Ja too.
I say guys like John Morant, Zach LaVine, guys like Steph. Well, they're older now, but you know, like. To answer your question,
I'm just saying Ja because he's new. He's young.
Yeah, he's definitely new.
Yeah. To me, I can't even say Zach LaVine. I'll say Ja more than anybody else because he'll tell you, I'm coming to be the greatest.
Joel Embiid, probably.
For him, it just seems like his focus is that is he reminds me of a Russ in that sense. Like, I'm going all out to win.
He's trying to be him.
I don't know. That's to be determined on LaMelo and Anthony Edwards, for that matter. You know what I'm saying? I know that they're good at what they do. I'm not saying that They're both great at what they do. They do a great job. Man. But to say that they're trying to be the next personal, you know, they're after championships, it's too early to say that for them right now. These guys, like we said, like we talked about, they're trying to get a Twitch deal. They're worried about being on social media and shining for the camera. My brother sent me something one day, and it was on Instagram, and this dude was like getting in his gym work, and he was showing a dude with the ball. He took the picture, and then he walked out of the gym. You know what I'm saying? This area is talented no matter what. This area is very talented. We should be in good hands as far as the talent is concerned, but I don't know if winning is the most important aspect for these players as of yet.
100%. 100%. But the reason why I named those two in particular is my opinion, what my eyes tell me, is that when they're on the court, they're not out there for play. Also, when they're off the court, do we hear LaMelo going to the strip club? And I know it's COVID and stuff, but it's kind of like, I feel that both of those dudes in particular are grounded.
Gym rats.
Enough. Gym rats. Like you are not that talented and that skilled at that age if you're not in the gym damn near every day. This dude, Anthony Edwards, just shot 8 for 9 for three. Scored 42 points and did not shoot a free throw. He scored damn near 50 points and did not shoot a free throw. Let that sink in.
But let it sink in, and it was a loss. And I'm not, once again, I'm not dogging him. That was a great game. But what I'm saying
narrative.
He part
narrative.
Of it.
Narrative alert.
Part of it.
Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I don't know if him getting back to the hotel room was calling his people saying, and this is what I'm thinking, you calling your people saying, did you see how I played? Or are you mad that you lost the game? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know which is more important to these guys. That's what I'm saying. I don't know yet. He has to prove that winning is the most important aspect of his game. We don't know that for either one of them yet.
But you know what though, Shelton, is what's my window? 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
And that is where we see that.
But here's Shelton just did what we talking about.
He did.
He just took this guy's great game and just was like, yeah, it was cool, but he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Nope. That's those.
Nope. I said what I said was what was more important to him. I can't say because I didn't.
But that's the point is that you would never know what's important to him because you don't know him.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's to be determined. You'll know eventually what's more important.
But regardless, why do you have to cash that by saying that he lost the game after putting up 42, shooting 8 of 9?
Because what I'm saying is you don't know what's more important to him, whether winning or losing or putting up stats is more important. That's the same narrative that they had with Russ, because for a long time it probably was putting up stats was important to Russ. Now winning is important.
I think winning always been important to Russ.
It has always been important to Russ, but people like Shelton go out and says otherwise because he don't know.
No, I don't. You're right. I don't.
No, you ain't playing 100%.
Well, why do you need to know, Shelton? What'd you say, B?
I said Russell Westbrook is not playing 150% just to not win. He's trying to win.
Here's the thing. At this stage, I know he is, but at first you didn't know. And that's why he had some problems with certain teammates because of some of the shots.
I thought he was trying.
If you're playing to win and you're not putting your team in the best position to win by taking certain shots, if Russ was just all about winning, didn't care about himself at all, why would some of those players want to be away from him at that point? You know what I'm saying? You got to ask them.
Just hearsay because from what I've heard, teammates always love Russell Westbrook. So that's just media. Talk,
yeah, so. Shelton.
The people that played the game have always spoke more than likely. Most of them have spoken very highly of Russ.
Yeah, I mean, I hear good things about him now, but I haven't always heard good things. Have you always heard good things about Russ?
Yeah.
His teammates have spoken very highly of Russell Westbrook.
His teammates spoke very highly of Russell Westbrook. Like,
I heard
that dude go ham, man.
And
who said something about shot selection?
When he was playing with KD, that was the whole big thing.
Is that what KD said?
Yeah.
Is that what KD? Came out of KD mouth.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'm gonna have to go back and find it and show it to you. I'll find it. But he was talking about his
KD and Russ were cool and still.
But the larger point
he had with Russ was Russ had the problem with KD. KD didn't have the problem with Russ because of the way KD told him he was leaving. That's that media.
No. It was before then. It was before then.
But if you can find it, let me know.
Yeah, I'm gonna find it. I'll find it because I saw it before.
Yeah, and the thing is though, is that the larger point, I believe, here is that we just got to have some context and proper expectation for certain talent level, in my opinion. Like, when it comes to guys who really want to win, to answer your question, people, for real, I think that we don't have a problem. I don't think it's a problem. I think that it's just an evolution in humans, man. Like these are still people playing the game. Just because they got names on the back of the jersey and they got a sponsorship don't mean that they don't have, you know what I mean, the same like struggles and issues that we all go through in terms of our internal confidence and all that stuff. So when it comes to a guy like Edwards or LaMelo or Tyrese Halliburton or any of the young guys, I can't, and I don't think I really even want to question if they have that dog in them, because I don't know what's important to them. Is it the winning? Is it just scoring? But what I do know is that we do have an issue, I believe, of guys who want to be validated and rewarded for lack of hard work. I will say that. And that's come through the social media era, where guys are more so like what Sheldon's talking about. It's not about the winning, but it's more so just about, let me get this fit off in the gym and have people comment a bunch of fire emojis. And that's just, to me, that's whack. That's the issue, I believe.
So you know how I determine how important winning is to a particular player? The player example I'm going to use is J.R. Smith. 6'5", 205, 210. Anything that you want in a basketball player, he has. Shot, dribble, athletic ability, jumping ability. What he lacked was IQ and work ethic. If you want to win in this game, you cannot cheat your way to the top. When you are given all of these talents, right? And we know about J.R. Smith's past. Clubbing, smoking, chilling, you know what I'm saying?
Anything is
How
possible.
How serious did he take it? The way that you know when somebody is serious about winning is, what are they doing in the offseason? Year by year, when we call them out, right? Because at the end of the day, as analysts, why didn't you win? Giannis, you need a back-to-the-basket game. You need at least a 15-foot consistent jumper. You need at least one or two counter moves to whatever back-to-the-basket move you have. That's how you know how important winning is. Not saying that if they don't get it, winning is not important. But if winning is that important, you're going to do whatever it takes. Mm. Kobe did whatever it takes. LeBron did whatever it takes. That is what, in my opinion, from the outside looking in, because I don't have no source. I don't know none of these people.
So you're saying how serious do you take your summertime?
Huh? Summertime?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing with your summers? How do we see you evolve from one season to the next?
Skill Correct. Acquisition.
What are you doing?
That's my point, people. That's what I'm saying. That's why we can't say what is important to these guys at this stage based off how well they play in the game. That was my point. Not the fact that it really had nothing to do with even him losing. It was the fact of he lost, so how did he respond to the loss?
Right.
How is he going to respond? That's how we're going to tell what.
Like Tyreek Evans.
But here's the thing. Why do we talk about players establishing themselves when they first get into the league?
Mm-hmm. That's real.
Right? There's a process to this thing.
That's a good point.
When you are a top 10 pick, you're going to the 10 worst teams in the league.
Right.
Thanks.
Winning in your first year outside of maybe Golden State, right? Like if I'm James Wiseman, okay, well, shit, maybe we could win something. Mm-hmm. Outside of those, when Tim Duncan went to the San Antonio Spurs, mm-hmm. outside of those type of situations, you know that the reason why you're either going to be good or bad rests on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So you have to establish your presence in the league. Mm-hmm. So winning is not necessarily the number one thing. Learning how to win, learning the NBA, which is why I say year one to year three is that time. You got to figure shit out. The game is much faster. You have way more off time. What are you doing with your off time? Are you only on Twitch? You know what I'm saying? Not saying that being on Twitch, like I heard Colin Cowherd say something today that was just cringy. He was like, Tom Brady doesn't do anything in the offseason. He's in the film room and Aaron Rodgers wants to go be the host of Jeopardy. And so the host of Jeopardy, takes my entire day where I can't do my film study, where I can't go to the gym. Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
What are we talking about? We're humans. We're supposed to have extracurricular activities, but does it impede the progress of your career? If mm-hmm. it does, then you're J.R. Smith and winning is not that important to you. Getting them checks, giving chicks the pipe, that's a quote, right. is DM. More important
so,
to you.
So that was my point. That was just my whole DM point is we can't say that these guys, we can say the dogs
so,
all day.
So wait, hold on. Let me pause you one more time, Shelton, so I can make my point because obviously I went along soliloquy. Again, and I'm going to reiterate what I said. You are not 18, 19 years old with this level of skill and winning is not important. Because you're not, you cannot be good in basketball without putting the, you cannot cheat your way to be a top five pick in the NBA. And if you do, you will get exposed.
Mm. But does that mean winning yep. is important? That skill yeah. doesn't mean winning is important. I could be skillful all day long. I could be the best player on the worst team for the rest of my career. Does that mean winning is important to me? Because I'm
so,
because
so, so I'm would you great? Say would you say winning was important to Carmelo Anthony?
I think so, yeah.
Some people question so. That.
I think so. At this point,
why do you say you early? Think so? Why from Shelton's perspective, Carmelo Anthony was a winner? Or winning was extremely important.
When he first got into the league, well, he was coming off a championship in college anyway. Carmelo always felt like he was one of the greats. Initially, I don't think it was that. Once again, just like with most of the players now, I think it was about being the best he could be, which that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you evolve from that? Because initially, it is about what you can do on the court. Initially, some of those guys are thinking about themselves.
At what point did Carmelo transition to winning being the most important thing to him?
When he probably not until he got his last chance, which is now, you know what I'm saying? When he finally got the chance with a team, like when he thought he was done, that's probably when it became so important to him.
So you just proved my point.
Was it how?
Because you said when he first got into the league, well, you said first and foremost, you said Carmelo Anthony is winning is important to Carmelo.
Yeah,
right?
I said, yeah. Now I think it is important to him now.
So what you're saying is for his entire career, only 10% of his career was...
So think about it this way. The way you describe these guys now was how I would say when LeBron got into the league, when it was important for him from day one. He was coming in to win. That's what he got here for. CP3, when he got to the league, he came to win. He didn't come here to be the most flashy point guard. He didn't come to do nothing.
And why do you say that about CP3 and LeBron and you can't say that about LaMelo and my guy Anthony Edwards?
Because like you said, we hadn't gotten that far along yet to see where they are. We ain't got. I can say that about them now today because I can look back and see that they've been the same consistency throughout. We can't say that about these guys because it's to be determined. We don't know what they're going to do.
How about this, y'all? Let's close it on this. Let's close it on not the show, but let's close this topic
talking
on
in circles.
Let's close this topic on this. Miami.
What circle? What circle?
I get what he's saying a little bit.
I get what he's saying.
So let's use a more recent example. Miami Heat have recently come out and, well, not the Miami Heat, but people close to the Heat. Sources say that Tyler Hero is a concern of the Miami Heat. They're concerned that he likes the celebrity more than actually getting more skillful, actually being able to compete on defense. And a lot of people are looking at him like, oh, he might just be a light, white Lou Williams. And that's not terrible. That's not terrible, but
he was on the way.
Yeah, six man a year. And, you know, it's crazy how 365 days can change a narrative. Because last year it was Tyler Hero's the guy. Look at his fire, his ire in the finals.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now this year, everyone is like, yo, he just want to post his outfits and he want to show he's hanging out with rappers, Gucci Mane, Jack Harlow.
That's my point.
What's important to you? And I think that we're going to see that. We're going to see that.
Wait, hold on.
That's my point.
But thank you for bringing up Tyler Hero, because you're going to make my point again, Shelton.
let me get it, because I need to get it. I want you to make a good point to me now, because I ain't got it yet.
But
make it
Tyler
make
Hero
sense.
On one side. Tyler Hero on one side. Right. Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball on the other side. Mm-hmm. Out of the three, who are the two most talented?
Right.
These two on this side.
Right. Okay.
You're right.
Why? Also, Tyler Hero has a second year, right? So mm-hmm. we can see year to year. What did I say in what I was just saying previously? Year right. to year, what are you doing to get better? Growth, correct. Progression.
But no. See, right? That's some people what I'm saying.
That doesn't mean that winning wasn't important, or maybe they just wasn't as talented. However, when Tyler Hero coming into the NBA, heralded as a shooter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How in the hell, as a rookie, you shoot damn near 40% from three? I think he was over 40%. And this year, you're barely shooting 30%.
Yep.
When that is the foundation of your game.
Right.
That's
my point. We don't know what's most important yet. And that's what you were saying. You said, Edward is there. You said, Melo is there. I said, no, you can't say that. That's what you said initially.
Shelton, what I'm saying is you don't become as talented as those guys if winning is not important. Everybody here said, even as rookies, both of those guys are better than Tyler Hero now.
Yeah, but that's
as a rookie. So my point is that the floor is much higher because they put in the work.
The roof is the ceiling, huh, FIFO?
We can agree to disagree on that, because some players are just some, like you talk about players being touched. Some of that is God given ability. Anthony Edwards jumps out of that gym. That ain't him working harder than nobody else. That's him being able to jump out of the gym.
100. You know what I'm saying?
Some of those buckets is just because he's just built better.
But you know what, though? And if he was only dunking, you know what his name would be? Gerald Green.
Right. But some players have
Jamario Moon like a mother. Like,
some players can shoot. Some players can just shoot. They ain't spending hours in the gym. Some dudes just got it, man. You know that. I got a point right now.
Shelton, it's about
still got to work
starting with a high floor and then rounding out the talent.
But he didn't.
LeBron
had
no jump shot.
Shelton, I'm just saying, you still got to be great. You don't think Steph Curry don't spend hours in the gym shooting?
Steph Curry spends hours in the gym shooting. What I'm saying is there are certain players who work less hard than others. They don't work as hard as other people. They just have God-given ability to perform that sport.
Hell no. How many names I got to throw out there, bro? Gerald Green, J.R. Smith, Jamario Moon, Chris Birdman Anderson, Antonio McDice.
Right.
Do you want me to keep going? Joe Smith. Look, Shelton, God-given ability, it mm-hmm. could be the separator, but it's not the base.
It's not the,
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You're saying, like, these guys spend hours in the gym. Like, we know this. We don't know that. Like I said, you don't know nobody.
We'll table it. We got to table this, guys. We got to table it. We got to get to the next topic, because we're going to be here all night.
Hey, when did Nick get on the show?
I told you.
Bro, word.
I've actually played with players that mm-hmm. don't put no time and effort into their game. But when they step on the court, they're some of the best ones out there in the gym. I play with guys like that. I've seen it with my own two eyes. And I'm like, damn, if he really worked at it, he would be a monster.
I've played with those guys too.
And you've seen the game catch up to players.
The NFL is littered with guys that are just there for a paycheck. Who was the guest that we had that played for the Bears?
Who was it now?
Your guest that played for the Bears.
Oh, my God. Why am I
married to Javita?
Oh, Caron Riley.
Caron Riley.
Yeah.
He said from the moment that first practice hit, I knew I wasn't going to be here for long. he knew that he had a life outside of football. Everybody is not a sports lifer. Sometimes you need to get there to be able to set up other things. And that's the reason why I said you cannot cheat the process.
You can't cheat the process is correct. But we've seen guys excel early. and fall off late. We've seen it happen so many times.
All right, well,
so we can't call them winners. That's my
point. That's a fact. Sheldon's also right, and FIFO's right. So let's get on. Next topic, because we can't be here all night.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Yeah. You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
The title of the show is Who is Anthony Davis? I'm gonna just skip to that topic.
Slash, is Anthony Davis soft?
Is Anthony Davis soft?
I changed the title. They were clowning me for the title, so yeah. They were joking Anthony around. Davis,
I'm weak.
Hey, hold on. Shout out to Aldrin J. He called Tyler Hero Garlic Palm Hero. That's fucking
y'all got it.
Yo, that's funny.
Garlic
palm. That's fucking funny. I love it.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy, man. Y'all got the real Slim Shady in Miami. That's really wild. So when it comes to Anthony Davis was given a whole bunch of accolades last year after winning the finals, hit the shot against Denver, been touted as being a generational big. And for probably from about 2013 to 2015, I heard a narrative being pushed that he has the potential to be the greatest power forward of all time. I have issues with Anthony Davis. Everyone knows I got issues with Anthony Davis, but his play over the last two seasons with Los Angeles has called a lot into question for me personally. And I'm going to tell you exactly what those questions are. Is Anthony Davis who we thought he was in New Orleans? Or was it just a bad team and a great talent being able to put up a lot of stats? Let's look at the years in which he went to the playoffs. He had Drew Holiday, he had Rondo, and the minute he had those guys, didn't do anything. When it comes to his physicality, I have issues with the fact that he shies away from guys like Embiid. He shies away from physical centers. He doesn't want to play the center until it's crunch time. And that might be because of his lack of ability to stay healthy. But that also puts questions on being called the number two player in the NBA by ESPN, being ranked number three on Fox and all these different lists. I have to call in the question, is Anthony Davis that top five talent that we thought? Or was it a little bit of gas behind it because we saw the intangibles and the numbers on a team that didn't go anywhere, as we say, right? But not to disparage him as a man, not to disparage him as a player completely. I just think that there might be some realignment in order. Am I tripping? Let me know if I'm tripping, FIFO. Just go ahead.
You're pretty much saying AD is overrated, pretty much.
I hate that word. I'm just saying I think that he's been given a lot of grace.
Mm.
I think that a lot of slack as well has been given to him. Being called the number two player in the NBA next to LeBron, and you putting up these numbers and the tentativeness that he plays with, the shying away from physical play, the injuries, the always staying 17 feet away from the basket, refusing to bang. Like, I need him to just show me more because I see it. But I just don't see that top three guy that people were touting him as for years. And I want to know if I'm tripping.
I mean, I'm sorry, FIFO. I'm not going to really judge the Lakers per se this year. Well, I'm holding my judgment because I don't care how long you've been playing this sport. Having a 70-day offseason is going to wear and tear you regardless. I mean, that's tough. I think I'm looking at it from a mental standpoint. Physical standpoint, you coming off a 7-day offseason. I don't, this season, I kind of take it as a grain of salt. I mean, if they can make a run in the playoffs and make a push in the playoffs and get to the finals or whatever, I mean, that's great and all. But I'm going to hold off until like next season when they play a full regular season and have a full offseason and training camp. Then I can probably start back questioning AD. I never thought that he was like top five point guard ever. Q, does he have the potential as far as the skill set? Yeah, he definitely has the potential. But I never thought of AD as, like, this dude going to be one of the greatest power forwards, like, top five power forwards ever.
Right.
Because I just have to see more. Y'all know how I am with, like, let's just wait and see what's going to happen. How can he play in the playoffs? And he has some pretty big moments in the playoffs, you know, a few times or whatever. So I ain't going to knock him from that. But I'm not – this season, I'm not really judging the Lakers for you know, really that much this season. Injuries. Because, like I said, coming off a 70-day offseason, that can be tearing, man. That's tearing on your body.
Definitely CB, look, man, I think I'm going to have issue with everybody tonight, boy.
What did I say? What did I say was wrong?
You giving them a pass?
Yeah, you giving them a pass. Because here's the thing.
No. I mean, I'm only giving them a pass this season.
But not even this season. Because at the end of the day, look, I understand that a 70-day offseason – hey, come on, that's really unrealistic.
That's unheard of, dude.
I get that.
Talk that shit before.
But it doesn't change anything about Anthony Davis because the man been brittle since the moment he stepped on the court.
True.
You know what I'm saying? True. So that's an Anthony Davis problem. And
can I interject? But if we look at both teams that went to the finals, they both have struggled with injuries.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's a correlation.
And that's why I said I'm not trying to absolve 70. It's a fact.
Yeah, Miami and the Lakers are just
and every team that went deep has had, like, Jamal Murray, he went up before a dunk and tore his knee. Come on now. You know,
yep.
Exactly. So I understand the wear and tear and not having enough recuperation time. Yeah, right. So I'm adding that in there. But the reason why I'm not going to give him a pass, because like I said, he's been brittle since the moment he stepped on the NBA court. So even though the 70-day offseason may add to that, but he's always been often injured. So I can't give him a pass there. Right. Like for LeBron, he gets the pass. Mm-hmm. How many seasons has he played? How many minutes? He leads the NBA all time in minutes already. And he's still not done. So him being broke down and shit, I get it. AD, hell no, you don't get that pass because you haven't proven it in the past to be healthy for a considerable amount of time. Now, the other thing, when I look at Anthony Davis, it's the prime example of talent versus mentality. Does he have the talent to be top five? Does he have all of the skill sets? Does he have the length? Does he have the physical athletic ability? Does he have the IQ? Does he have the touch? Right. I think that's a very underrated thing for basketball players. Does he have he has all of that. The two things he doesn't have is mentality and health. And because of that, that is what holds him back. And when I talk about mentality, let me go into it a little bit further. He's not Batman.
Come on now.
Save speech.
Batman.
Damn, Q.
People say that shit.
But yeah, like, he just doesn't have the mentality.
Because that's what I've been trying to get people to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the mentality of Batman. And that's one of those things that sometimes you don't see right away. And again, that goes back to my LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, and I'll tie that back in. Like, when I watched Anthony Davis when he first came in, you could just tell personality-wise, shy. You could tell he was an ugly duckling coming up. Plus, he was hella short, and he got that big-ass growth spurt. Like, overnight, he went from, like, 6 foot barely to, like, 6'8". You know what I'm saying? Like, in a matter of months. So he was awkward. He embraced the unibrow. He's different. He was never alpha, but because the talent was there and we could see, oh shit.
The talent was alpha.
Oh shit. If he actually adds muscle and he does this and oh shit, we don't know what the hell he could be. But as he matured physically, he did not mature into an alpha mentality basketball player, which is why he'll be Paul George instead of Kawhi. Kawhi is an alpha. Paul George is a Robin.
Kawhi ain't no alpha, but go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if Kawhi is an alpha.
Let's not. See, that's going to be a thing.
That's a whole other thing. I'm not going to go there. We're not going to jump off the Anthony Davis train right now. But
you already know Sheldon good for that. Hey.
When I watch Anthony Davis play, everything that Q said, he shies away. Why? Because that's his personality. That's his personality. So he's great. And I think he is a top five player. I think he's a top five talent. Number two, no. To me, in my opinion, KD is LeBron and KD. Those are the two best players in the NBA. The most all-around guys, the most, they have the size, the physicality, the extreme levels of talent killer in the areas, instinct. Killer Wait, instincts.
Did you say he's a top five player in the NBA right now, though?
Yeah, because he's that talented. Is he? But he's not Batman.
I think what you said earlier, Fit Boy, you said he could be a top five talent, but I don't think he's a top five player because
Sheldon, FIFO, what does it say? When y'all answer? What does it say for AD when he's not even in the convo for big men no more?
You're right. It says a lot because that's what
Jokic
he is.
Embiid. And yeah, where's
AD? Giannis? They talk Giannis as a big man more than they do AD.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's my issue with him is I see just like y'all saying, the talent is domineering where it's like, yo, those, I would say his prime years in New Orleans was definitely the playoff series against the Trailblazers and probably maybe the year before that. And in those years, I went back and watched tape. He was rim running a lot more. And I think he's way more hurt than we're being led on to.
I think that ring
was like the safety net for his career, in my opinion. LeBron knew he had to get him that one because I think they have conversations about, yo, I can't play the five, man, because they want me to block all these shots and my knees ain't. I know for a fact they probably had those convos. So what does it say when you have a guy like this and this is your window in Los Angeles? What do the Lakers think about AD at this point? Obviously, they love him and they won a championship with him, but – y'all know that the best basketball minds monitor their players, their skill, and their health at all times. And if AD can't be that guy when LeBron's gone, what does that say?
Do y'all think that he can be that guy, though? Like, if he never got hurt this year, you think he could have been that guy?
No, because what's separate? So this is partly why Jimmy Butler is a borderline all-star to me, right? Or superstar, or whatever category we were talking about during the finals and everything. Because of his, it's not the skill set. He's nowhere near Anthony Davis' skill set. But right. Up here, he's one of the toughest nuts to crack. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, that can change your whole career trajectory. J.R. Smith, in my previous example, way more talented than Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy Butler's still here. Jimmy Butler is heralded as one of the best small forwards in the league. Why? Because of this. And to answer that question directly, no. He cannot be the main guy on a team because we've already seen it and it does not work because the mentality is not there. B, you out of everybody here, I've played basketball the most with you. When you don't have confidence or you don't believe you're that guy, there's no way that you can lead a team. Now, can you lead them in a game or two? of course.
Yeah,
you can. But you're not the leader.
Right.
You're not the leader. And yeah. And I don't think people will follow Anthony Davis. What was one of the criticisms LeBron said about Anthony Davis last year, the first year that they played? Oh, you're going to have to learn how to play through some of these nicks and pains, bro.
Mm. Yeah. Do you remember before COVID hit, how we used to talk about him not showing up in fourth quarters?
Mm-hmm.
That was always the knock on him, is he would disappear with the Lakers in the fourth quarter. And that was when the game was played, actually. And that's something that always stuck out in my mind. When I think about him.
Second half, dude. It wasn't even fourth. It was the second half. It was like the first two quarters, AD has 17. Oh, my God. Next, he has 8. And then you're like, what the world just happened? Mm-hmm. You take your foot off the gas. And that's where it comes in my mind. Only two options. Either it's mentality or, yo, I can't do it in the second half. I have to monitor my – I have to give you all everything in the beginning to get a big lead, and then hopefully we can coast in the second half because my knees or it's my mental. And that's – for me, if you're Jeannie Buss and you're Rob Pelinka, that has to be – as LeBron's health is in jeopardy right now, that has to be a conversation of, yo, we either got to bring a guy in here, Curry, but that's a whole nother combo, or we got to start to think about what is our future with AD if he is the – if he's the guy. What does that look like? What do we build around him? If we saw in New Orleans, it took the best two-way guard in the NBA in Drew Holiday, and it took a great playoff basketball player in Rajon Rondo to elevate them to pass the first round. That's where we're sitting at. So I'm looking at AD, and I'm going to ask one more question about AD. If AD is able to string together a couple of healthy years, do you think that the mentality will change?
No.
Not at all? Not even a little bit.
It's his personality. Damn. It's his personality. It's his personality. His personality permeates his mentality.
He's an interesting guy because it comes out at times, like that dominant side of him. We've seen it in stretches in the playoffs last year. He basically, you could argue, almost carried the Lakers to the finals. And LeBron did the job in the finals. You know, he hit a game winner against the Nuggets. He's had a lot of moments, but I still see that same guy. And I go back to what I saw when they played against that game they just won against the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to come in the game and win the game. And he took the shots, but the confidence didn't feel like it was there. Mm-hmm. But he hit one shot. And then he got a block, and then he's yelling at everybody like he just did some shit. Yeah, you did, but you didn't come in and be like, hey, this game has gotten close. Give me the ball, and I'm going to take us home. They gave you the ball to take us home. Vogel had to tell him, you got to take us home. Mm-hmm. LeBron has to say, you got to get us home. He has to activate that confidence in him in order to get him started. And LeBron is like one of the best guys at doing that, at making guys just believe in themselves. Yeah.
And he also was known.
Tonight against the Clippers, they're probably going to get washed because he's not going to have that mentality. We got LeBron's out. Hey, I'm going to go out here.
And
I'm
gonna W. Isn't he?
LeBron's out, yeah.
No, I'm talking about Anthony Davis not playing tonight, I don't think.
No, he playing.
Oh, he's no minutes restriction. I don't think. No.
Oh shoot! I thought he wasn't even playing. I didn't
see.
But no, I think one of you guys said it. I do think he is definitely still banged up.
Yeah.
But yep.
Clippers 42, Lakers 29, with 7 minutes left in the second quarter.
Hey, and speaking of this game, real quick, just to let y'all know, man, Boogie looks good tonight.
I was crazy when Boogie was in Houston. I said that if they would have kept it together, he would have been something.
I was crazy years ago when I picked DeMarcus Cousins over Anthony Davis. That was a big argument we had.
I was riding with you, Ken, because I've been not anti-AD, but I just been anti the narrative, bro. It's like they was talking about dude like he was about to be Tim Duncan. And I was just like, he's a great player, incredible talent, and I think that he is a winner, but there are different types of winners. There's people who ride shotgun and there's people who drive.
Westbrook got another triple-double, by the way.
Come on. Oh, wow. They said, you know, I was going to tell you.
And they won too, Shelton. That may make it feel better for you.
I know. No, that made me feel great for him. At this point, hey, at this point, winning or losing don't matter at that level. I'm talking about the beginning. But yeah, and speaking of which, he could have averaged 0.0 rebounds and 0 assists per game for the rest of the season and still average a triple double. Russell Westbrook is ridiculous right now. But back to AD, man. Another thing about AD too is in the past, he played defense, and this year, defense and rebounding has just not been a part of his game at all. And
I can't judge him this year for some reason.
Part, like I said, well, part of it is, like you said, the shortened season. I get that. And the injuries that he's going against, anything leg, you know, related, I hadn't judged him since he's been back. But before that, you know what I'm saying, he still, I think he averaged like 8 rebounds a game or something like that. But he just didn't look like himself on defense to me. So that was the biggest difference for me in the AD in the past and now.
Kenneth Black played small. Said AD is more Cat than Tim Duncan. Yo, golly,
I was just about to
that's
say
close.
AD and Cat are the same motherfucker.
Damn.
That's close.
And you know Cat be on Twitch every night on that Fortnite.
I love Cat, man. I love Cat. His like
Shout out to Cat. He's been through a lot, man. I ain't gonna go on Cat.
He has. No, he has. He's still one of my favorite players in the NBA, man.
If you see him in certain aspects of the game, in certain spots, he looks like the same player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He does. He got some talent still.
You can tell just putting it all together. You can tell Sheldon that AD idolizes Kobe because number one, he's always wearing his shoes. Mm-hmm. And that 17-foot step back that he loved to do between the legs, you can tell he watched Kobe growing up and the fact that he's a Laker. He probably can't even believe that this is his life. He's like, man, I'm actually a Laker, and hey, I get to do this. This is crazy. Hey,
when he hit that shot, he said he yelled Kobe.
Yeah, but come on. And that's where I think designates him to be like what FIFO's saying. He's Robin. Well, we can call him Nightwing, you know, for all the nerds out there. he Nightwing. He ain't Robin. He got more gadgets than Robin. But when it comes to AD, man, I think that we're going to have to see in the next couple of years where he lands with the organization and what his standing is in the NBA, because health and mentality is going to breed a lot of either success or obvious failure for him, especially post LeBron James.
Here's what I'll say. Here's my read on the league on Anthony Davis.
Mm.
They're not scared of him.
Nope.
They know the talent is there, but they're glad that he doesn't fully utilize it or that mentality has switched on. Because they're definitely scared of the talent. They were like, whoa, this guy.
Like, imagine if Patrick Beverley's mentality was in AD's body.
Right.
Best player in the league. Yep. Ain't even close.
By hands down.
Like,
hands
damn. Down.
It's not even close.
Like, yo, why are you doing this? Like, guys going to be like, yo, why are you doing this? People going to be like, yo, he just twisted his ankle. See what I'm saying, though? Like, see, we can't even talk about, bro. We can't even talk about, bro.
Yeah.
Do we have any super chats?
Damn.
We don't right now.
AD okay. Hurt again, bro.
Well, we got time for one more topic if y'all wanted to get into it real quick.
Yes, sir.
So for the last topic of tonight, I wanted to kind of have bridge off on a conversation we almost walked into earlier, but I'm glad we didn't. This is statistically been one of the easiest eras to score in since the 80s. Scoring has gone up in like droves. And this is for a multitude of reasons, and I'm obviously going to get y'all's reasons. But people have an issue with the lack of defense. People have an issue with the fact that the NBA has turned up into a quote-unquote layup line and a quote-unquote three-point contest. I want us to just go around the room. Due to the fact that this is the easiest era to score in, do you find a problem with that, or do you think it's enhancing the game? What are your qualms with this new era of the three-point run? Everyone runs to the three. Curry broke the game open. What's y'all's thoughts on that?
For me, it's just the evolution of basketball. I think that it's just the time we live in. It's exciting to watch. You know what I'm saying? I like watching it, so I don't mind
high scores.
Yeah, the high scores, it brings the fans there. That's, you know, the biggest knock on baseball is that it's not enough action.
Right.
So for it to be this way, Cousins just hit a three, by the way. Speaking of that, you know right. what I'm saying? So, you know, everybody's shooting threes now. So in positionless basketball, you're going to get more scoring because you got more skilled players doing more things. You know what I'm saying? You got a 7'11" player coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Man, he just got a steal in the dunk. Cousins playing out his mind right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off prison. I'm sorry.
He killing.
But what I'm saying is you got more skilled players at every position.
Right.
So it's just a more exciting game of basketball at this point. So I don't mind it per se. Will they change the rules at some point? I think they will eventually add a 4-point shot.
I think so. Okay. I can see it. It's just FIFO, before you go, cause I know you want to go, but I want to ask you this. Since ratings are actually down, people don't know. Conversely, scoring has gone up, but the ratings have gone down. Do you think that there's going to be a change, FIFO, in the near future where they institute the ability to play more defense again? Or what's your opinion? Is it good for the league? Is it bad for the league for scoring to be like this?
It's good for the league for scoring to be up because it's like the home run in baseball. You know what I'm saying? Chicks dig the long ball. Chicks now dig the three-point shot. You know what right. I'm saying? That's just kind of where we are with basketball. Right. I enjoy it because I don't think I've ever seen a more skillful era of basketball. How prepared these guys are at 18, 19, 20 is amazing to me. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they're not perfect, right? Like consistency, there's a lot of things, growth, experience. There's a lot of things that they could learn, but their floor is so much higher. And I think it is good for the game of basketball. My main issue with the defense in basketball is, and I've always felt like this, I guess it's because I came up in 90s era basketball, is that I hate, first of all, they got to make a couple of rule changes, right? Like, remember the whole KD sweep thing? They got to get rid of the point guard, pump fake, jump into you. That's not a basketball yes. freaking play. Yeah. Get rid of that, right? And I think for the defense, what they have to allow is if the offensive player initiates contact, I should be able to absorb that contact without foul.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell can the player with the ball move me out the way, but the moment as a defender I present resistance, I'm called with a foul? So I'm not saying that we need the hand check. I'm not saying we need the, you know, like mug the guards coming up the court. But if you're trying to turn the corner and I get you with a nice chest, not like a whole bump, but I get you with a nice, like, you're not moving me because I'm stronger than you.
Right.
That shouldn't be a foul on me.
Right.
And I also think that they got to do a better job with the whole flopping. Like, it is egregious.
Yeah, it's bad.
First of all, we need to be able to go back to replay. Because as much as I love this guy, LeBron is one of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he sees somebody hand go across, he... him, Marcus Smart, like, hey...
Rajon Rondo. CP.
Rondo, get that shit out the game.
Hilarious.
Because what I miss of the 90s is a foul really being a foul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these phantom calls just hurt the integrity of the game. If you're going to call a foul, then you had to earn that foul. Let's not just give them all these free throws and stuff. So I think that if they make that rule change, meaning that the defender can absorb and resist contact, right? I'm not initiating contact, meaning that I'm not pushing you. But if you try to hit me, I can be here and take that.
Yeah.
And it's not a foul on me. Like, that's a problem. But in terms of the offense, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I think I definitely hate that, like jumping up, the trying to draw a foul. They need to get rid of that and not reward players for that. Every once in a while, I see refs do it. But, you know, that whole Dwayne Wade, as much as I love him, he used to do that stuff all the time. James Harden is bad for it. These touch fouls, they need to get rid of that too, or be more consistent with how they call it. Don't penalize a player just because they're more physical, like Shaq. Mm-hmm. A foul is a foul. So, and it, you know, it's not their fault. And I get that, you know, the whole thing is, well, we'll be calling a foul on every play. Then maybe there's something else you need to figure out. But yeah, I miss defense. I know all of this is cool, but I'm sick of all these damn three pointers.
Yeah.
You know,
That's why I like watching Embiid play. You know, and I like what Doc Rivers has done with him this year. Get your ass away from that damn 3-point line all the damn time. Right. You know, and get down there in the post. I want more of that. Bring the big man back. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So
guys like Tony Allen don't even have like a place in the league anymore.
Yeah, you know exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Ken. I do miss defense because it kind of it brings the intensity to the game. You know what I'm saying? When you have good. Now, I'm not saying I want the scores to be 85-79, but I'm just saying I do miss. Give me some type of defense because I love watching intense basketball. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just like you can fucking thread a needle when you know when it gets down in that second half of basketball, man. Give me some good defense, man. I want some great defense possessions and stuff, man. And like you said, FIFO, I agree with you too. I want the fouls to be a foul. Like if he's blowing that whistle, oh yeah, he got fouled. That you got to call that. Like I want those obvious. Yeah, you got to call that. He knocked the shot him foul. Like give me a hard foul.
B, what happened to the when somebody was you know fill in the blank with a player stopper? Well, so what happened to the stoppers? There's no more stoppers. Like, yeah. There's no more Kobe stopper. Well, no one could stop Kobe. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
no more Bruce Bowen. No more Tony Allen. There. Who is the Curry stopper of the 2020s? Who is the KD stopper of the 2010s? And back in the days, that was you might catch a bow coming into the lane because it might affect your shot. That's not stopping you, but it's altering your mentality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
it's making you think twice before you come in that rack and come to the rack again.
Right.
But also from an offensive standpoint, when you can play defense at that level, then it makes the offensive player like be more mentally strong because you got to overcome that. You say, damn, man, he just like bowled me in my rib and I ain't getting no call. OK, we can't complain to the ref. Just it happened. Go get a bucket on him. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. And I also saw in the chat a little bit people saying that the refs are the issue. They're partly it. I also saw people saying, you know, fine floppers.
Yes.
My thing, eject them.
Ooh.
Eject them.
Yep.
And then you do it again the next game, suspended two games
they're
in addition to the.
Yeah, that was
fine. The, they're not fining them.
I think that the coach should lose timeouts first just to see what that'll do in the league. All right, you flopping, you lead the, you lose a timeout.
That was a super chat we just got from Tigolo Kane. Start suspending floppers and get rid of replay.
Nah, we need replay.
We need quicker replays.
Not all situations. Yeah. Just because somebody get hit on the head, you don't need to replay that to see if it's a flagrant foul for a little love.
We need quick replays, man. They be taking an hour to do just
bro. Okay. Yeah,
make sure that hand released right when the buzzer went off when they shot the ball. Like exactly. We need that type of stuff.
Exactly. Out of bounds, stuff like that. Yes, 100%. We still need
replays. Like you said, quick replays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it should come down from Sakakis. It should be we're watching the game. We replayed it. Boom, boom, real quick. You know, the ref kind of phones in or whatever the hell the process is. And, hey, yeah, all right, bet.
It's clean.
Another ball, you know, black ball.
That's it, what you just said, phones in. It's not the refs on the court watching it. You got
exactly.
I like it.
It just comes down. Way. This is what the call is. Go.
Mm-hmm. I already saw it, yeah.
Like, you know, he didn't mean to do it. Just keep going. You know what I mean? And that's it.
Going to the sidelines, pulling out the monitors, putting on the headphones. That's just a bunch of extra work that could be avoided.
We got to change the flagrant rule, too, because they're very loose with, what is the intent here? It's like, how can you assume intent within a 30-second replay? If dude is not bleeding and if dude clearly wasn't targeting them on, like, you know what I mean? Like, go. Like, I done seen Joel Embiid get technical fouls. I done seen LeBron get technical fouls for going into the lane and elbow swipes dude's lip and dude flops. And then we have an hour replay and then they're assessed double techs. What is the purpose of the double tech? Like these are the things that I think are dropping ratings because guys want to see, like what B is saying, they want to see that intense basketball because you know what makes the best product is when guys have to be precise with their movements on the court. It exposes, like what FIFO was talking about earlier, who takes summertime seriously. That's when you know who give a fuck in the summertime. because mm-hmm. when defensive pressure's on, when you see those boys in college playing Final Four, that's when you see whose coach drilled their asses every single day with the playbook, had them running suicide, make sure you in the best shape, because we got to execute when they pressing us. And if we can't respond to this defensive pressure, then that's a just a failure on the coach's part and a failure on the player's part. So I'm seeing this new era of high scoring, and I'm gonna just couch it as being obviously an evolution, but there does have to be some course correction in my opinion, and I think that's where I'm gonna leave it there for.
Y'all better be careful what you ask for. These boys be out for eyelashes in their eye. You mess around and foul these boys too hard.
Come on now.
Hey, we had one more super chat too. We missed it earlier. I'm sorry, I missed it. Andrew Canada, appreciate you, Andrew. He said, y'all don't think AD's confidence can't grow with age, which will make him more dominant?
Nope. It doesn't. Look, show me one other player that's happened to.
This late in their career, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, how long did it take Julius Randle to get to be where he is right now?
But Julius Randle was never devoid of confidence.
Yeah.
He was just hurt.
You're right.
Broke his leg first year, second year, you know, was on a rebuilding Lakers team, third year, if I'm not mistaken.
Trade rumors is then the third, then he went to the Pelicans. Then
D'Angelo came in, right. Then Lonzo.
It wasn't a confidence thing. You know, now here's the thing. Like, in that first 1 year to 3 years, I think you can build it. But once you hit the third year, from a mental standpoint, you're closer to what you're already going to be.
Here's the thing. He already has his title. AD don't have to do anything for the rest of his career.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He good.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
His career ended today. He'd go to the Hall of Fame.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That. So, you know, that box you were talking about earlier, Q, mm-hmm. he checked it off.
He mm-hmm. checked it.
Yep.
Ooh. It's Uchiwari and one mic.
So we can call him soft. We can say maybe he's not top five. Mm-hmm. We can say all of that stuff. But the one thing they can't say is that he never won a championship.
He got the hardware.
So, yeah. Ooh. So he covered his bases, man.
For sure. That's what we got for this week. If we
hey, real quick, to answer that person's question earlier, I think it was a super chat. Did y'all is Jokic in y'all's favor? I mean, in y'all's opinion, the current MVP at this point?
It's
CP3. You said
yep.
Where is Denver right now in terms of rating?
They're third.
Yeah,
they on fire though, FIFO.
Joker played every game. He's been the most dependable.
They are on fire right now.
But it's like half the
league. They just lost to the Lakers without LeBron.
Half the league had to die for Jokic to fucking get this. That's what I don't like, though. Like, Harden was the front runner, then he went down. Embiid was the front runner, he went down. Brown was the front runner, he went down. Now everyone's like, who's healthy? Oh, well, he was because he played.
Yeah,
and it's like,
I get you.
Since when do we give out scholarships for perfect attendance?
But also too, though, Ken. I mean, when Murray went down, they've definitely won way more games than they lost.
Yeah, they're 8-2 in the last 10.
That's a fact. Yeah. But Michael Porter's been going nuts.
Yep, and it wasn't because of.
Back stay healthy. I hope Michael Porter's back can stay healthy. I hope he don't end up like
they're not winning those games because of Joker.
Got that Mary J. Blige back,
but he's still putting up.
Michael Porter Jr.
But here's the thing, and y'all already know how I feel about MPJ. With that being said, if you take MPJ off, they're better than if you take Joker off.
I know that, obviously. But MPJ has stepped up when Jamal Murray went down.
1 million. But of course.
But Joker has been consistent.
And they're pretty deep in Denver, man. Denver's deep too.
They are. And I also said that this was going to be a good thing for MPJ.
And you were proven right.
By Jamal Murray going down because he's a young guy.
But if MPJ doesn't step up, do you think they still winning these games? No. Joker's not going to carry them to these W's like that.
But I knew MPJ from high school had this.
Right.
Because you're not that talented coming in that young and you don't have this.
Well, don't tell Sheldon. Oh, I know. That.
But yeah, don't tell me that because wasn't Lonzo talented like that when he came in?
Who?
Lonzo?
Lonzo.
See, y'all about to do a thing.
Lonzo Ball?
He wasn't talented when he. Okay.
That's his dad. His dad sold you that bill of goods.
That ends it. Thank you, Kim. Go ahead.
His dad sold you that bill of goods, and you bought it. And you bought that. You bought that TV box with bricks in it.
Nah, I like Lonzo too.
Yeah,
and you know how I like Lonzo.
Ken knows good well what I'm talking about when I say that. Everybody thought Lonzo was. Well, you didn't think he was going to do this, but yeah, he didn't have it here.
Mm.
Whoa. See, so this was before Shelton got on the show.
Okay.
Before Shelton got on the show, everything Lonzo's doing now is what I said that he could do.
Right.
He used to pass the ball up too early. He didn't make the defense come to him. The jump shot was broken. And he didn't have enough counter moves. Now, did you see the snatchback behind the back one-leg Dirk Nowitzki winner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he settled in. He settled into a nice.
Yeah, he did.
He found himself.
But this is a question of people. Didn't you think though initially in the league it was more his mind that was stopping him than anything else?
That in Los Angeles, probably just the
being in LA.
For me, early on, what was holding him back was the target that his dad painted on his back, because especially that rookie year, like he didn't have a normal rookie year. Every veteran guard
was gunning for him.
All their frustrations out on Lonzo because of his dad.
They were gunning
for
him.
And that's just unfair. Like that first game, Pat Bev was all up in his grill and he was pointing to the rafters.
Checking him full court.
That wasn't funny.
That wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like Lonzo had a welcome to the NBA moment every game.
Yeah,
he really did.
But look, man, let's get back to this Jokic thing. Jokic is not the MVP. Y'all need to stop it. CP3 is the MVP.
You know I'm not arguing.
Those are the only two.
I'm not arguing CP3, Ken. You know
that in sports was the. I'm gonna say it. We were one of the first platforms to talk about what is an MVP and Chris Paul needs to be in the convo. Now ESPN, everybody want to jump on this shit. We've been on this shit. They can't fuck with us. We've been doing this. Like we've been doing.
That's hard for me though, man. Like I said, it's hard for me because
why?
Because I love what CP3 is doing, but I love what Joker's doing. I mean, he's just been so steady and consistent, man. He's been consistent throughout.
Consistent, Shelton. You said Denver was done like 2 or 3 weeks ago in the chat.
I did.
You wrote them off.
You did. I was wrong. I was wrong. That's what I'm saying. That's what kind of made me feel like he is, because he's kept it going. He kept them going when I figured.
CP3 has been there all year. If you want to talk about consistency,
we have a super chat.
He's been there all year, Shelton.
We have a super
chat. That's consistent.
CP3 is really the difference maker for the Sun.
No, Joker's been there consistently.
It's amazing how CP3.
How has he? No, wait, hold on. Whoa. Hold on. You can't say he's been consistent all year, but yet 2 weeks ago you wrote him off and said they done.
I wrote them off. No. It's consistent, but I wrote them off because they lost one of their most important pieces to them winning the championship.
And they were losing games. They lost like a 14. They lost a 14-point lead, and Shelton was in the chat just crying because he believed.
No.
He thought it was a wrap for his favorite squad.
No, the only reason I said the only time we can go back and look at this. I always figured like Denver was my underdog if everybody stayed healthy. When he got hurt,
it's
the only time I said, underdog. Well, now that he's hurt, I don't think they're going to win the championship.
Look,
I ain't never got down on them. I thought they were long-rangey. They played good defense. I thought Michael Porter Jr. stepped up. He's playing big. I was like, okay, Denver's showing me some stuff.
Let me be Shelton for a second. Shelton, we have a super chat. Why do people disregard Jokic? This is from Chief Miyagi. Why do people disregard Jokic like he's Kevin Love? He's the MVP right now. CP has the impact, but his numbers are not MVP caliber, in my opinion. 16-8-5 isn't going above 26-11-8. And that's been my issue, is that what does MVP caliber mean? Because he has a higher seed. The Suns were out of the playoffs last year. And you bring in one guy, and they're the second seed in the West, the Wild Wild West, this big bad West that y'all keep talking about.
Probably could be a one seed.
Could be the number one seed. But this is the Western Conference that y'all was talking about as if it was the fucking like Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
And then it's like he gets to the second seed, and now it's, well, Jokic is the third.
A non-playoff team.
Come on, bro.
Like, come on. That's the same way. HQ, it's the same way Jason Kidd did. When he went to the Nets. Before the Nets got there, they had Stephon Marbury. They were like a 26-win team. Jason Kidd got there with the same team. They went to the finals 2 years in a row.
But Beasley, this team won 11 games in a row in the bubble. Ooh, does that not account for nothing?
That's a fact. No, that is definitely a fact. But
yeah, but
the regular season, though,
right,
is different.
Right.
It's different.
Which don't get me wrong, y'all. I'm not arguing against CP3. That's not what I'm doing. Yes, please don't think that.
I'm not even arguing against Jokic right now. I think he's playing great.
I am
arguing for Jokic. What I'm saying is CP3 is very important, but this team was trending upward when he got on it, which is a great thing. You add him, he puts him over the top. But what I'm saying is I think that Joker has been very consistent with that team. And to me, he's the best player on that team.
I have a question.
Is CP3 the best player on that team?
I think he is.
Arguably. Yeah.
I think he is. I think he's clearly the best player on the team. But in my opinion, let me ask y'all this. If we take CP off the Suns, if we put Jokic on the Suns, are they a top two seed in the West?
No,
I'm really just asking. I have no opinion right now. I'm just asking
yes.
a question.
No,
I think it's possible. I'm not going to definitively say yes, but it's very.
I don't
know
how Joker and Ayton can play together though.
That's
right.
Well, no. I'm assuming you add Joker, Ayton isn't there.
Yeah.
And then if we're looking at D-Book and Joker, to me, that's a better version of Jamal Murray and Joker.
Correct.
And if Jamal Murray and Joker can do what they did, D-Book and Joker are doing some things.
That's what I was thinking.
Definitively saying number two with the rest of that roster, because obviously Denver is deeper than Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I can't definitively say yes. But they would still be a top five, top six team in the West.
This all just reeks of bullshit to me. Like CP3 has been balling all year. This Denver Nuggets team has been started out slow. They've somewhat been up and down and inconsistent at times. They're coming on down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Jokic is going to be propelled to the MVP.
But
y'all know my rule. I'm not picking a white man over a black man.
But
to also add to that, it's not like CP3 hasn't earned it.
Oh,
so now all of a sudden, I'm going to take this man. Then I know Jokic isn't technically like whatever. And I get it. And I, you know, and
he's a European.
And I'm not trying to discredit Jokic. But I'm just saying, like, CP3 has earned this. It is unfair, and I know the world ain't fair, to just snatch that from this man who has been consistent all fucking year to give it to this guy because, you know, maybe it's a better narrative or people all of a sudden is falling in love with Jokic like that. Get the fuck out of here.
Was Joker playing bad earlier this year, though? I mean,
not,
I know the team lost.
Not he's bad. Been all year. Not bad. It's
the
just
team.
It hasn't
the
equated to wins. And the thing is, though, is that y'all think that LeBron going down don't help them rise up in like the Clippers, Kawhi and Ibaka being out for how many games?
You messed me up, Q, when you said it earlier, though, because you said how who you said was the favorite first. Harden was the favorite.
It was Harden to be LeBron.
Yeah, you kind of messed me up with that one, though, because you had me thinking like, dang, you were right. Like
all of these guys were the media was damn near like pick a Negro out of a hat. Oh, it's Embiid. No, it's LeBron. And like all of them kept getting hurt. And then you look at the injuries in the West. You look at the amount of guys who've been sitting. To me, the conversation seems to be akin to a C-plus student made up a lot of ground to get a B+, and now we're trying to make him valedictorian.
What? For real.
And I'm not really with that because the other three star students, just because they had to miss school with some illness, that don't mean the fact that they didn't still have A+s before this dude.
Jokic just got perfect attendance.
Yeah, he has perfect attendance. He's in class every day and he's doing good, but those great students make him shine more. And if he gets it, he gets it. He's balling. Y'all already know I'm not hating on no big man. But when it comes to this conversation about valuable, how in the hell do you not look at a 36-year-old point guard who's taken two teams that were projected to not even sniff the playoffs? We're talking about lottery.
But that the only thing about that, though, is you can't say what he did before. We're just talking this is it.
Right.
So we got to keep it in the context of this year.
My question,
even to you, Ken, at this stage, which one has done more to put their team where they are at this point.
Man, CP is organizing. CP3. Fuck out that team, man. He is yeah. organizing that offense.
I'm with you, man. Yeah, CP has definitely been he's been the general for that shit all season.
Man, he keeping D Book in line, bro. Like he keeping all them boys in line and they compete. I'm not, bro. I don't want people to get me wrong. Like thinking that this is just, you know, one of those shallow podcasts where people just hate on the. No, Jokic is a great player, dog.
No, Jokic. Hey,
we have praised Jokic on this show, Q, plenty of times.
That's what I'm saying.
This 6 in one hand, half dozen the other, as far as I'm concerned. And I think about it.
I don't have another hand.
My hand is black.
I'll switch it back and forth for different reasons, but like I said, I go back and forth thinking about it because both of them, I think you're right. They both have been dominant in doing what they do, and they both are very important to their squads. But if you take one off the court, each one of them off the court, any particular night, which team is going to look better?
Right. Jokic backdooring his way into an MVP.
No,
Jokic's been balling.
Q just said it. Three of the MVP front runners, the lead dogs, got hurt. And in all honesty, it should have been four. Harden, Embiid, who was that? LeBron, CP3. Mm-hmm. Jokic should have never been in the conversation.
Shit, even Dame was in the convo for a couple
even
weeks.
Even Dame was in the convo. They go down, then Jokic leaps CP3. Mm-hmm. Get out of here, man. And you know what, Q? Just to even go back to what you were saying earlier, like, what is the definition of MVP? That is something else that really has to be narrowed down and redefined as we move forward. And a lot of people are having these conversations because I see a lot of people in the chat talking about fucking numbers. You know what the numbers are? The number one fucking seed in the NBA in the Western Conference. That's the fucking numbers you guys need to be paying attention to. Not all these little gaudy numbers and stuff. These statistics that make you, yeah, wait, exactly.
Hold on. Okay, so let me be the pro Joker guy here.
DeMarco.
Because here's the thing. Now, I agree that I think definitely at the moment, CP and Joker should be the front runners.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, if you want to put Joker number one or CP number one, it is what it is. That's what your eyes tell you. What my eyes tell me is that Joker is the most unassuming superstar that we could potentially have ever seen. Cannot physically dominate the game. Is it going to beat you with running, jumping? Nothing that makes you go ooh and ah. That makes the fair casual fan fawn over. But what he does is that he does a lot of shit that somebody that big and clunky has no business doing.
This man, at one point in the league, he led the league in assists per game, dude. That's crazy. Dude.
And on top of all of that, he is the foundation of that organization.
Correct. Right now, he is.
CP is not the foundation of the Suns. Devin Booker is the foundation of that organization.
Bro, we can't. Shelton said we can't talk about the past.
And we're
talking about this year.
I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the future.
Well, CP3 is the foundation right now.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He is the piece that gets them over the hump, or one of the pieces that they needed to add to get over that proverbial hump, which is to make the playoffs for this team.
Okay.
We got a super chat real quick, too.
Go ahead.
Joker has been here when they was trash and has risen that Denver Nugget team from the ashes. And like I said, like the skill set he has, there's only one other big I've ever seen it like that. Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the only other one. So to be the lead playmaker out of a center that can't, I know I'm faster than him right now, bro. And I got an extra 35 pounds right around my midsection. That's crazy, Ken.
It is. I've seen the man, like, even against the Lakers, like, I see this man constantly hit shots that he shouldn't hit. Like, and I'm like,
just that little weird boot, like what is that, dog?
It's like, when do you practice
that? These Herman Munster ass shots. Like, this shit is crazy. But that's what makes, like, it's like you watching Uncle Fester drop 25 in the league, and it's like, what the hell is this? But
hey,
no, I'm sorry, we have a super chat.
I was just gonna tell you real quick, Q. We got a super chat from Tigolo. Tigolo says CP3 isn't even in the top 8 MVP odds. Go home, Ken.
And that's an issue. And that's an issue.
And thank you. Fuck those odds. Fuck those odds. You shouldn't even listen to those odds. You should you. What? I mean, only because the odds are going to probably tell you. But fuck the odds. That's the problem.
Fuck Vegas. Fuck Bad Boy.
Three. And that is the thing. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how the media and certain institutions drive and push value in places and things that it should not be in. CP3, for him to be disrespected like that and for people to pull up the fucking odds and tell me to go home, y'all need to think for your fucking selves. That's what we're trying to tell y'all.
Hey, Faniel DeWitt in the chat said, also another super chat, Faniel DeWitt said, Jokic was top two all year long, y'all, which is true.
I don't know about that, because Harden had like a whole month where he was it, and Embiid was the second. And then it's Embiid, like when Harden went LeBron. Down, Harden had the hamstring, Embiid had the, you know, the bone bruise, LeBron went down, and then out of nowhere, we get Jokic rising up.
Joker's always – don't try to paint the narrative that's like what Joker happened, was never in the picture. Joker has been in the picture.
He was in the picture entire year. Off in the corner somewhere.
Not top two. When James Harden was going to fuck off when he first got traded and he wanted to prove the whole world that I still got it even though I got a pudge. Okay, LeBron, when he was – before the injury, he was balling. But Joker has always been in the conversation.
I agree with that. Yeah. I'm glad you said maybe not top two.
Yes.
Because that's what he
wrote. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I listen to three guys.
He's right, though. Joker.
And it was fluid.
Here's what I think about this, too, though. Somebody said Joker leads the team in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. That's crazy. To me.
Steals?
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about.
How?
That you lead your team in every major crazy, statistical man. Category.
That's crazy.
To me, and this is my opinion, to be the MVP, you have to be the singular, clear-cut difference maker in your team, period. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be a peer. Like, CP3 got Booker. They're a duo. You know what I'm saying? You could say one night Booker is the greatest player on that team. You could say next night CP3. So it's not a clear-cut. He's not the clear-cut MVP of his team, even, if that makes sense. They kind of take away from each other. You know, they kind of want, you know what I'm saying? He kind of eat away at each other. To be honest with you, the name that's not being mentioned that should be MVP, in my opinion, what MVP means, most valuable player to his team and one of the league would be Julius Randle.
Yep.
That, to me, is the definition of it. You take Julius Randle off that court, the Knicks are back to being the Knicks.
Shelton.
Come and on, that's going to do it for everyone tonight. We got Better Sports. Shelton will be back next week with the takes.
His love, man.
Nah, man. Ain't it crazy how the Pelicans let Julius Randle go to draft better Julius Randle? But it's just, funny.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, but it's hilarious. But nah, I agree, man. You know, we're going to wind it down here. If we got any more super chats, y'all send them in. But I ain't got nothing else unless y'all want to take it away.
I don't either. I got to edit this this audio review anyway, so I need to do that before 12. So we can meet our review a day.
Oh,
yeah.
Shout out to the chat. Make sure y'all like, share, subscribe, bring a friend in the next time. That's how we grow. Sending your super chats every week. Y'all control the conversation. If you don't like a topic, y'all control the narrative. You know what I mean? We here for y'all. That's what we do it for. So Dead End Sports, that's going to do it for us this week.
Shout out to the chat, man. Y'all cracking me up talking about Nick.
Shout out to the chat.
Shelton really is Nick.
I am Nick tonight.
He called it a Nick tonight. Take.
Julius Randle, baby.
Oh, good Lord. Shelly Doucet. Shelly Doucet.
That was in Nick's honor. Hey, man, you know, for real, though, to be real, Julius Randle do need to get some love for that.
He balling, though. He balling.
Yeah, he balling. That's about as much as we're going to give him.
Yeah, that's it. But like I said, you take that man out there.
All right, man. By the way, guys, next Tuesday is up in air. We're moving some stuff around because of Mother's Day, and we may have to use Tuesday to record some Dead End Hip Hop stuff, but I'm still trying to figure that out. It all really depends on how quick we can get done with the frame stuff. Manny, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So it's TV.
If me and Manny got to do it, you know what I mean? It is what it is. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Shelton, you know, I'm sure he'll be free. So you know, we'll talk it out and figure it out because I can set everything up and, you know, they can kick it in. But just a heads up, just in case.
Maybe we'll do a chat show where the chat just control the whole show. Y'all just ask questions and we'll just turn up for hours.
I like that.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis hurt his ankle on the... Did you see how he got hurt?
Nah, I think he was just walking, man. You know,
he was bagging up and stepped on the sideboard.
That's gonna do it.
Oh man, we'll catch you guys next week. We out, peace.